The first book of the scriptures provide us with our text from Genesis chapter 28, the verses 10 through 17. On page 43 of Genesis. Genesis 28, I'll begin reading at verse 10, but you can imagine we've plunked ourselves into the whole context of the Isaac, Esau, and Jacob stories. And they are strong and memorable for some of us. Some of us might need a reminder about some of them. We'll see what happens in the message. But this is about Jacob then, who to set up a bit, who is leaving his home in Beersheba with the assistance of his mother Rachel to get away from his brother Esau, who promises to kill him because Esau has been twice messed over by Jacob. Maybe you remember those stories. First, how Jacob finagled the birthright. Esau being the oldest son, he has the birthright, the inheritance of the name and the properties and the firstborn rights. And for a pot of, what we call it, lentil soup or lentil stew, a hungry Esau was manipulated into giving that up to Jacob. And then later when Father Isaac, son of Abraham and Sarah, when Isaac was dying, Jacob finagles with the help of his mother the blessing of the father, the man who could give inheritance. These are cultural things, but Isaac was going to give the final blessing to his son. And it was meant to be the oldest son, of course. That's the culture then. That oldest son carried all that. And what did Jacob do with the help of his mother? He finagled that out of Esau as well. So Esau was just really angry. And so Rebekah says, "Why don't you go to my brother's place and leave? Laban is his name, and he's got daughters. Settle down there until the heat's off." So that's the context for you now. And so you start at verse 10. And it says, Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran, where his uncle lived. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, "I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you, and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you." When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it." He was afraid and said, "How awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven." We're going to reflect a little further with Scripture and move to Psalm 4, which you'll find on page 845, the fourth psalm of the Psalm of David. And we're not sure of the context, but people think that traditionally that this psalm comes from David's reflections as he's thinking about his son Absalom, his son who rebelled against him and tried to take the kingdom away from him. Absalom's the son of David and Bathsheba. Maybe you know that story too, David and the adulterous affair and the murder that ensued for him to get Bathsheba to be his wife, and they have a son, Absalom, who then rebels against David, the anointed king of Israel. And in that reflection, then, possibly, comes this prayer. Psalm 4. Answer me when I call to you, O my righteous God. Give me relief from my distress. Be merciful to me and hear my prayer. How long, O men, will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love delusions and seek false gods? Know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call to him. In your anger, do not sin. When you are in your beds, search your hearts and be silent. Offer right sacrifice and trust in the Lord. Many are asking, who can show us any good? Let the light of your face shine upon us, O Lord. You have filled my heart with greater joy than when their grain and new wine abound. I will lie down and sleep in peace. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. So we're embarking on a new year, and you know the deal. Eat less, sleep more, and laugh a lot. That's advice for 2019. Okay, I'm going to have coffee now. it's that matter of sleep, though, I want to talk about with you, because I've had some sleepless nights. I don't mean to be a center of attention here, but I lost two very dear brothers-in-law in the last 6 weeks. I did their funerals, of all things. I don't know why that, where that came from in the end of my year, but it did. One was 87, died of Parkinson's. One was 72, died in the midst of life. He had a heart attack when he was delivering a load of hay in Nova Scotia. I had sleepless nights, to be honest with you, for the last time and the last while here. And I think I know some of you have sleepless nights too, don't you? Yeah, sleepless nights. If you have sleep, enough of it, restful sleep, it's good. Maybe the answer is just simply watch the amount of coffee you drink, or maybe when you drink it. Maybe that should be the thing. This will be your last cup of coffee of the day, and you'll sleep better tonight. And some of you are saying, oh, I sleep fine. I could have a double-double. It's 8 o'clock at night, and no, it's the caffeine. It's a drug, and it lingers, and it keeps you from having good REM sleep, right? Rapid eye movement sleep, the deep sleep stage. And if you drink coffee late, and even if you fall asleep easily, that caffeine keeps you from good sleep. So that's a piece of advice you can take home with you. But you've not come to church for any of that. You've come to church not even to have some pastor give you advice on how to sleep, not even from the scriptures that way. I just think with you that sleep is a reflection of what's going on in our lives, how we sleep, whether you sleep well or not. That's not something you put into words easily. And you know the pictures that play in your heads as you put your head on the pillow. You know what you're worried about. Oh, my. The people in our lives and the worries they cause us. Our own frailties and health. Oh, my, the cancer word. Children, grandchildren and their vagaries. And people who don't love God and you want them to. And relationships and the layers and layers. And the stuff of life that crushes us and crunches us in so many ways. You name it. It's economics. It's our addictive substances. It's sexuality and the vagaries of that. And it's our stuff, and it's our busyness, it's our investments. You know, don't you? You can nod. You know, don't you? Yeah. And the stuff keeps us awake, the good and the bad of it. So there's a scripture for you, Psalm 4. And I told you the context that is assumed here of David, who must be thinking, you know, I got involved with Bathsheba, and I had her husband killed, and the son that came from that encounter is now after my throne that God gave me. Psalm of David. What an audacity. Look at verse 1. This is not, please God help me. This is not how people often phrase prayer, like maybe God would, you know, would that God would. No, this is an imperative. Answer me when I call to you, my righteous God. What a confidence. He commands God. Give me relief from my distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. This is not, if you're willing, if you're able, please. This is David, the David I just described to you. Man who was too much blood in his hands to build a temple, who commands God to comfort him. Relief from my distress. What was there in David that could make him do that? Knowing about himself and asking God, commanding God that way. And then ending this psalm with, in peace I will lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. What an awesome faith he had. It made me think of my sleepless times and now yours, as you're thinking about them. And what we go through. And how 2019 will be... could be a sleepless year for you in some ways, you know. And how much better your year will be if you have 7 to 8 hours of sleep, of good sleep every night. And then I thought of what happens in the night with some people. And I was drawn to this story of Jacob and what his night was like. And now he woke up, it says, afraid after what he dreamt. But what a story that is. What a story that is, that dream of Jacob. And I just introduced to you the Jacob and Esau stories again, and some of you know them well enough, some of you do not, but that God would give him this encounter with the divine, given the kind of shady character that Jacob actually was, and the family dysfunction of him and his mother, conspiring against his father and his brother, that in that context comes God with, in a sense, the core of the covenant that he made with his people forever. You got to think about that. Why would God deal with these sleazy people with such a dream. Hard to understand. There could have been a family with less dysfunction, I would say. There could have been kinder, more loving, more thoughtful people. Couldn't there have been? I mean, come on. Not just cheated once, but twice by his brothers. Esau, who understandably got angry. In fact, it may be Esau who stands out as a more gracious person because he didn't kill his brother. You know the story later on where they meet. And while they don't reconcile completely, there's no killing. Later on in the passage, Jacob calls this place Bethel, house of God, Bethel. And so this Bethel encounter of Israel, of Jacob, who later becomes Israel, as you know, this encounter becomes the core story, the core meaning of ancient Israel. In this story is every promise and hope for a people of Jacob's day. And you and me here this morning, you think about being here in Vaughan in 2019, in this place. How does that happen? From other parts of the world, all of us who come here, here we are. Oh, what is that? Well, that's because of this story, this incredible encounter. Look what it says. Verse 13. And that stairway that he saw, it wasn't just a ladder, it was a stairway. It says, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham, the God of Isaac. Later on, of course, when that God is named, then it becomes the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The God of Abraham, Sarah, and Isaac and Rebekah. And then Jacob and Rachel, Leah. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. That's the first promise. I will give you the land on which you're sleeping. In the dream, Jacob sees that. So already God is wonderfully gracious. You cheating, deceitful man who got these blessings unfairly. You lied, you cheated. I'll give you the land you're lying on anyway. But then, here's where you and I come into the text. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the east and to the west and to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. You and I are in this place because of this dream, this story, this encounter with the divine, this stairway to heaven. Did we say to heaven? It's the stairway from heaven to us. That's the whole meaning of this story. It is that the Almighty, the God of creation, the Holy Other One, this God comes down the stairs, see, in form of angels. It says very clearly in the text, they ascend and descend. It isn't just one way. It's the opening of the gate of heaven, as Jacob sensed, this is the gate of heaven. This is nothing other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And the divine truths are come up and down from heaven, from God to humanity. That's you and me in this text. And the thing is, you got to theologize that a bit. You got to think deeper about this. When we celebrate at Christmas time, God incarnate, God in the flesh, God coming into human form, that's part of this story. That's part of the fulfillment of the story, that God comes down. He transcends himself and enters human flesh. He takes on blood and bone like we have. everything comes out of this story. The stairway to heaven, the stairway from heaven, the stairway from earth to heaven, the stairway from heaven to earth is a kind of a symbol, allegory, reality, pointer to the rest of history of God and human beings. Everything. Christ came down. God came down in Christ. And then wonderful things happen with that. Wonderful things happen to the point where the Apostle Paul says in Colossians chapter 3, now, you are already with Christ in the heavenly realms. You have already gone up those stairs in the connection you have with Jesus Christ. So everything you say after this story in Genesis 28 will fit in there somehow in redemptive history. Everything. Countless people in Vaughan in 2019, January the 6th, right in this story. So then when you get to Psalm 4, written by David, and remember Jesus is called the Son of David. David, same shiesty characteristics as Jacob. God also takes him in and gives him the wonderful words of our song this morning. This psalm is so deep and fresh for us today. Let the light of your face shine on us. Fill my heart with joy. The Apostle Paul says, we see the light of God in the face of our Lord Jesus Christ. And David, despite all he's done and what's been done to him, what Absalom might be doing to him, says, in peace I will lie down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, will make me dwell in safety. That's how you can face 2019. In peace, you can lie down and sleep because you will dwell in safety. So what does that mean then? What does all that mean? It means you have to have a dream, I think. Not just your dream of a paid off mortgage, kids doing better now, better health. Oh God, the cancers, we got good news in the cancer. That may not happen, in fact. That may be a dream you have, but that may not be what gives you the deepest part of your life, where things will go robustly wonderful in the coming year. That may not happen. We are human beings, and we know the situations of our lives. Look at the world. Look at the trouble it's in and the stuff that people go through, and we're in that. Maybe on the edge of it because we do so well. But if that's your dream, that things will go perfectly okay and that you'll be trouble-free, that's not what the story is about. It's not how you lie down and sleep in the peace that God wants you to have. Not at all. In fact, if you did that, you'd be dealing with the text of Genesis 28 that was Jacob's problem. Verse 16. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. He was afraid. Here's what we don't want us to be like in 2019. To not be aware that God is in the place with you, and that you go to fear, and that you have sleepless nights. What we're offered this morning in this service today is a reminder of this great, great, great picture, which is the foundation of Israel's history, because Jacob, as you know, later on got his name changed to Israel. And this story of the transcending God who comes down and we go up on the stairway is exactly the intent of the incarnation of Jesus Christ, who, says the Apostles' Creed, descended into hell. Of our misery and our sinfulness and our brokenness and our despair as human beings. But rose again to newness of life. And the Apostle Paul says, you have that. You went down there with him in your baptism. And you rise up in as you were baptized. And that's your story, this. You're on that stairway with him. God come down, you go up. And that's the power of this deep, deep story of redemptive history in the text of Scripture. In the songs that David created somehow, even though you know what kind of a person he was, in Jesus Christ, this is what we offer you for 2019. A dream of peace and joy and hope in Christ Jesus. What does she say in that dream to Jacob? I am with you. I will watch over you. I'll bring you to my promise. I will keep my promise. I will not leave you until I have done what I promised you. That's what you can think about, give place to in your head as you try to put your head in the pillow the nights of this year. But be weary of yourself. Have some sense about yourself. Maybe it requires some honesty, like what Jacob had after all, when he sensed in his own life his inadequacy. God is in this place, and I was not aware of it. So maybe for 2019, when you know that you were held in that core redemptive history in Christ Jesus that began its beautiful, crazy, wondrous picture in Genesis 28, all the way through to us here in this church this morning, your response is to build self-awareness. So for 2019, think about your prayer life. Think about your encounter with the Scriptures. What's distracting you from that? Why wouldn't you pray? I mean, make that prayer any way you like. God's in the room with you. Talk to him as if he were there always. He doesn't just come when he's beckoned. He's in this place now, always and everywhere. We just aren't aware of it sometimes. But so measure your prayer life and your getting in with Scriptures and your love and devotion and the care of a church that cares for you. And the people around you, will they know that you sleep better in 2019 and why? Let's pray.